Quarterback. It is a position that we are still looking for as far as our franchise quarterback goes. It is a position that we are still waiting on Aaron Rodgers to give us an answer about if he will be playing for the upcoming NFL season. It is a position that no doubt the Steelers will be looking at when it comes to the NFL draft. And it is something that we are going to be talking about on this episode of the Steeler Culture Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in, as this episode is presented by our friends over at Prize Picks. Quarterback. It is not really a pretty or convincing quarterback class coming into the draft this year.
No, I'll tell you this. Unless the Raiders want to give up the number one overall pick, which you already know they're not, you're not getting a franchise guy or many franchise guys in this class. Now, 12 months ago, I would have thought differently. But I didn't think that this class was going to flop the way it did. Like, it really flopped.
Yeah. There's a lot of high expectations, a lot of good anticipation, and a lot of, projectedly, a lot of good players to be coming into this draft class.
But the majority of them, smartly, intelligently, went back for another year, which is good. Some just did not have the kind of seasons that they should have or that we anticipated them to have due to injuries or just lack of play or just how it all panned out. It didn't really turn out the way that we thought that this class was going to pan out. We thought maybe the 2026 class was looking better than 2025, except it didn't.
No.
In fact, I think that this class could be worse than last year's, and last year's wasn't that good.
No, it wasn't.
At least last year, you had some borderline arguable first-round guys like Jackson Dart, who went in the first. You obviously knew Cam Ward was going to go number one. Shedeur Sanders, we thought he was going to go in the first round. He fell all the way to the fifth. But at least with some of those guys, you were like, hey, you could argue that these guys are first-rounders. This year, there's only one first-rounder.
Only one.
And he's going to go number one overall, and his name is Fernando Mendoza. For the Steelers, all these quarterback options are options. Most of them aren't particularly good. Not going to lie to you. There's a couple here that entice me. There's like maybe three or four that I would absolutely select. One, I wouldn't mind day two, but a lot of them are mostly ideally day three options. And if you guys have been following the channel for any bit of time this offseason, you guys already know that we are most comfortable taking a quarterback no earlier than the fifth round. Like, the fifth round is really like, okay, we reached the fifth round. If we want to take a quarterback, fine. I'm comfortable with it. That's the earliest we are very willing to take a quarterback.
Yeah.
Will that be the case? We don't know. I could absolutely see them taking a quarterback late day three if they like a prospect enough, because they have five picks in the first 100 picks in this class. They can address so many needs if they don't trade up or trade down, or if they trade down and grab more picks, whatever, that they could be like, hey, we've addressed this and that. We could go quarterback late day two just to address the position.
Yeah, just throw a flyer in, like, say the 99th pick, for example, right? It's pretty much basically at the end of day two. Why the hell not? That could be something that they could have in the back of their minds, considering they only have two quarterbacks on the roster currently. That is Mason Rudolph and Will Howard. And again, we're still waiting on Aaron Rodgers, and at this point, who knows? I don't even know if A-Rod knows at this point.
No, I think A-Rod knows. It's just a matter of when. It's probably not going to be until after OTAs.
But could that lead to the Steelers selecting a quarterback with a high selection? In my opinion, they better not. I don't think they should.
No, don't do it.
Just because, and I've always believed this. I said this last year even. Just because you need a quarterback doesn't mean that you should just take a quarterback just for the sake of it. If he's not your guy, if you're not confident and you don't believe that this guy is it, or you can develop this guy to be it, you shouldn't take this guy.
Yeah, like I people are going to argue, well, why not just throw flyers at quarterbacks every year until you land one? Then you turn out like the Cleveland Browns or the New York Jets. You have to look at a prospect. You got to understand and believe where their ceiling is and where their ceiling can be. If it is not an elite ceiling, if it is not a franchise guy ceiling, you do not select that guy, which is why we don't want them to select a quarterback early in this class, because there's not many or any guys here that speak to me of franchise. Only one, and that's Mendoza, and he's going to be the Raiders franchise guy. Everyone else, bro, like, to me, man, just wait till day three and grab someone to compete with Howard.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
I mean, it's obvious. Mendoza is here. We know this. And then everybody else is like way over there.
Yeah.
It's literally like the Great Wall of China, right? Like Mendoza's already at the end of it. Everybody else is still trying to catch up.
Yeah.
That's just what it seems like with this draft class, if I'm being real with you.
Yeah.
But let's just get right into it, talking about the quarterback prospects. Number two quarterback prospect, if you even want to call him that, is Ty Simpson, quarterback out of Alabama.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, man. If he falls, not falls. If he's the selection at 21, I'm going home.
I'm walking home, bro. We're going to Pittsburgh. We will be there.
I don't think he's going to be the pick, but by some stupid decision that he is, we're going home. I'm not staying there for night two.
No. That would ruin the trip. I'm sorry.
No, this would be Kenny 2.0. Because you don't have a guy and you're rushing to get the guy. What that would be is just a desperation move. But I don't think it's going to happen. Ty Simpson shouldn't go in the first. He'll probably go in the second to some team that might want to try to develop him because he still needs development.
He does. Only one season playing as a starter because he did sit behind Jalen Milroe and even Bryce Young since 2022, primarily Jalen Milroe. But he finally got a starting opportunity last year. And statistically, it was a fine year. I'm not denying that. Threw for 3,567 yards, 28 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions, going 11-4. Starting 15 games. But it was his only season starting at the college level.
Yeah. Which is why I thought he shouldn't have declared. He should have went back. But here's the thing. When you look at next year's class, there's a lot of talent coming out of that. And hopefully, 12 months from now, that class pans out better than this class.
Yeah, ideally.
Hopefully it's not a repeat of what this class is, where we thought it was going to be a lot better, but it's not. I'm hoping 2027 class is going to pan out a lot better. And a lot of those guys we thought were going to come into this class went back, which is a good thing. Simpson should have been part of that. But I think a reason he didn't is because if he didn't declare for this year's class, where would he have ranked in that class from the quarterbacks? Because in this class, he's arguably the quarterback, too. Arguably. If he would have went back and didn't have a better season or didn't have the season he should have, where would he have ranked? Would he have gone as high as he's probably going to go this year? That's probably the reason he ultimately declared. Which financially might be a best decision, but for his game and his craft and what he needs, I don't know if it was the best season for him. I don't know if it was the best decision for him. I mean, the season started off decent. I'm not going to lie to you. The season started off pretty well for him and Bama. It just didn't have a great finish.
No, it did not.
Like, he's got a lot to work on. Like, 1 year of starting experience. And some prospects, you hear that and you kind of cringe. But you also look at their ceiling. You look at where they what they did and how they impacted that school or their play, right? You know, you can kind of gamble on that. Other guys, you kind of, like I said, you cringe. You kind of have a bit of a hesitation. That's me with a guy like Ty Simpson.
Yeah, one-year starters, especially a quarterback, they are boom or bust prospects. Like, it is a true and big gamble when a team takes a player that has that resume.
Yeah.
It's a big-time gamble. And for Simpson, I don't deny the guy's athletic ability or even some of his upside. I just don't think it's enough for him to be selected in the first round or with a high pick in general, no matter what team selects him, really. Like, he's still got some stuff that needs to work on. Like, his accuracy, I feel like, is very inconsistent. I think he holds on to the ball too long and takes unnecessary sacks. Kind of reminds me of Shador Sanders last year, looking at his tape or even his arm talent. I don't think it's really the greatest.
Yeah, I would agree. It's just his ceiling, like, his ceiling to me is more like kind of like another Will Levis. Maybe like a less athletic Will Levis.
That's not a good one. That's not a good one.
Maybe I'm being too harsh on that. I don't know. I just don't view him as being like a first rounder. Like, people are saying, oh, he might go in the first round. I might go late first round. Nah, man, I wouldn't do that.
Honestly, I see round three talent. I think just based off him starting one season and you know, some of the concerns that he brings to the table as a passer, as an overall player, I think as a third round, I think that's a reasonable spot for him. But considering the quarterback position, they're going to throw his name in the first round category because of the lack of quarterbacks. in this draft class. That's just how it is all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a first rounder. I think he's a third round talent.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I don't think he will be an option for the Steelers. It's just we have to bring it up because there's a lot of people that were mocking him before the end of the season. After the end of the season, obviously after that Indiana game, which wasn't a good performance for Simpson.
It wasn't.
No thank you on Ty Simpson in the first or even second round. No. There's plenty other needs that we need to focus on. And I just don't think he's worth a very early selection. Let's move on to Garrett Neusmeyer. Now, this is one that surprisingly, as of this recording, has not been brought in for a top 30 visit. I would expect that to change. There is a slight Mike McCarthy connection as his father was the quarterback coach under Mike McCarthy for, I think, 3 years under the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
He is currently the Saints offensive coordinator. So there is that connection. If Mike McCarthy wants to just bring a quarterback in that has a little bit of connection, because obviously, you know, with it working with his dad, there was definitely some internal conversation about his kid and, you know, he's getting into the quarterback field.
Yeah, there could have been. There could have been.
There's probably a bit of connection there. I don't doubt that whatsoever. I would not be shocked if by, let's say, the end of day two, let's say the 99th pick, the Steelers have addressed all these other needs. They think, you know what? I think it's safe to take a quarterback now. I would not be shocked whatsoever if he's still on the board that the Steelers could take him at pick 99. If he falls in the fourth round, I think that's more ideal. All I'm saying is I wouldn't be shocked if he's the last pick of day two for the Steelers because they already have the amount of picks. They think, you know what? It's a good spot to take him. They might like his upside. The thing with Garrett Neusmeyer is this was one of those guys I was really looking forward to watching during the 2025 season because the way he had his 2024 season, the way it ended, showed a lot of promise. And that's where a lot of teams are going to have to bank on his potential is that 2024 state because 2025 just didn't pan out for him. It was very injury riddled. He had a very nagging injury. I think he said a stabbing pain in his ab every time he threw the football that wasn't diagnosed till 2 months after the season.
Yeah.
And of course he dealt with a coaching change essentially like what a month or two into the season. Like
it wasn't a good situation. No. It was a very rocky campaign for Neusmeyer and pretty, it was his senior year. It was the most important season of his collegiate career. And it was a very rocky year for him. There's no doubt about it.
No. So yeah, a lot of it is going to have to fall on the 2024 tape. A lot of his potential, a lot of his excitement is going to have to fall on the 2024 tape, unfortunately. But with that 2024 tape, it did show a lot of potential. 4,052 passing yards, 29 touchdowns, and 13 games. There is potential there. However, Neusmeyer most likely is probably going to be a very high-end backup. In the NFL, he'll probably just be another high-end backup. Almost like another, I get like a smaller Mason, I suppose. Mason Rudolph. When you're talking about like a complete pocket passer, someone that's not very mobile, that's what Neusmeyer brings to the table. He's just one to sit in the pocket. He's very confident in the pocket, which is one of the traits I like about him. He's very composed. He'll sit there. He'll make his reads. And then he'll get his receivers to football. That's one trait I like about Neusmeyer, which is why I think he will end up being a very good backup, a high-end backup in the NFL. He could be another one of those guys that could be an eventual bridge down the road, like for a certain team that might view him as a you know, a confident enough starter, give him an opportunity. He might not pan out to be like a franchise guy, but enough to fill in, win you some games. And that's kind of where his ceiling would be. For the Steelers, I guess he'd come in as competition. Perhaps a guy like McCarthy would like some of his traits to bring into the roster, into the team to work with. You know, he kind of has traits that McCarthy likes in a quarterback.
I mean, it could make for a fun quarterback competition with Will Howard and Garrett Neusmeyer under the impression that Aaron Rodgers is not coming back, but I think we all know that he will eventually. But even then, still, you know, to throw a flyer at Neusmeyer, it's something I can see just based off the connection between Garrett's father, Doug, and McCarthy, their previous connection back in Dallas. But just even some stuff that Neusmeyer brings as far as a quarterback, I think his accuracy is a little bit better than Ty Simpson. That's just my honest opinion there. But I think his arm talent's good enough. I think he brings a good competitive spirit. Even his leadership is there. He showcased enough of that in 2024. Like the players and the whole team really rallied around him in the 2024 season.
Right.
But a lot of his promise and a lot of his potential is really what's going to be relied because of 2024.
Yeah, they're really going to have to bank on that tape. But, you know, I wouldn't hate them selecting him at 99. I would prefer in the fourth round. Would he be there? We don't know with this class potentially, but I wouldn't hate them selecting him at 99. I view it as a realistic possibility because they have so many picks and they could address so many other needs that they think, you know what, this is a good spot. Let's go get him in case he won't be there. Now, there are other options day three, which make the most sense for the Steelers, unless they want to go another quarterback that is rumored to go day two that I am not all for. Drew Allar from Penn State. Drew Allar or Allar, however you say his last name. I always saw Allar. He has the prototypical build. He has arm strength. He has some arm talent. That's not deniable.
And he is a gifted athlete. I'm not taking that away from Allar. And he is probably the biggest quarterback project in this class. The thing about Allar is he is still raw as hell.
A lot of his issues stemmed from accuracy, pressure in the pocket, and the game being too fast or too much for him. He cracks under pressure. He's not very composed in the pocket. He's not very accurate as a quarterback. Like, yes, he has great measurables, 6'5", almost 230. He's got good arm strength. He's got some arm talent to him. That's undeniable. Like you can't say that he doesn't. Those are obvious good traits about him. Everything else, no brainer. Like, he has had, 4 years at Penn State? And each and every year, I didn't see a difference.
No, 2023 is where he got his start, and he showcased some promise there. But 2024, he really didn't go the extra mile. We didn't really see a lot of additional growth there. And there was even some talks that he was going to declare for the 2025 NFL draft.
Or like, no, you got to go back.
And he made the right decision. He made the proper choice to go back for his last year. That he did. He returned for the 2025 season for Penn State. But unfortunately, again, didn't see a lot of growth, but his season did end abruptly due to a broken left ankle that he had to get surgery for.
See, this is the thing about Allar, he has the NFL traits. Like, he already has, like, that down. Now, if you could get everything down as a passer, he could have been, like, the second quarterback off the board. He just has never progressed as a quarterback.
No.
Like, from an accuracy aspect, from reading a defense, or sensing the pressure, him in the pocket, he just never got that down. And maybe that was more of a coaching thing, because obviously, you know, the coaching in Penn State.
Oh, James Franklin, I'll give Allar this. That was not a good coach for him.
No, it wasn't.
Not at all.
And maybe it was James Franklin that was the problem. I mean, the thing with Allar is he's really going to have to be under, like, a quarterback guru, which, at least according to what Mike McCarthy pitched to the Steelers, that might be the guy. I have my doubts that McCarthy can develop a guy like Allar as someone that needs a lot of work in Allar. I have my doubts that he can do that, but McCarthy did have a long conversation with Allar about what he brings to the table and certain reads and certain coverages and, you know, how he views the quarterback position. And they were going through all of that. So I'm sure that the conversation was pleasant to the point that McCarthy might like a guy like Allar, or they might like his traits to select him. I wouldn't take him day two. I wouldn't take him to the fifth round. I think he's a fifth round talent. I think this guy's another Christian Hackenberg, another Penn State alumni.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not high on Allar. Like, his traits are there. Like the build and what you want, and like the prototype traits are there. But as a quarterback, he's just too weak. Like, he would have to sit for 2 years, and he's already 22 years old.
Yeah, whatever team selects him, they're going to have to be extremely patient with Allar because, again, he's still raw. And I tried with Allar. I don't see the hype. I don't.
Well,
I tried to be patient with him. I just haven't seen it.
No, me neither. But here's the thing. I think if he can get it down as a quarterback, like if he can work with a quarterback guru and a quarterback guy that's going to build him up, like McVay, right?
Which honestly, I think that's the best fit for him because Matt Stafford, he's still playing top football at his age, and he could still play, what, another 2-3 years? That's more than enough time for Allard to just sit behind one of the best quarterbacks of all time and learn from a coach like McVay. You can't ask for a better teacher like that.
Well, people might argue that's the same thing for the Steelers. Work under Aaron Rodgers, like Howard has, and work with a guy like McCarthy, who in some people's eyes is a quarterback guru. I have my doubts on that, but if Allard can work with a guy like a McVay or any other quarterback guru, like even a Kevin O'Connell, right? Bro, his ceiling's pretty good if he can get that down, but he couldn't get it down from the college level. And again, that might be a James Franklin issue. James Franklin needed to get out of there, and
he did.
He did. Good for Penn State. But in the NFL, it's going to take some time. It's not going to be an immediate thing. It's not going to be a year one or even a year two thing for a guy like Allard.
No.
There's a lot that needs work, which is why I'm not high on him. I would be okay if the Steelers took him in the fifth round, because that's the grade I have for him. And at that point, it's a fifth rounder. You're not really losing a lot out of it, are you?
No, it's
whatever.
You're
looking at him as a three. That's it. Which is the perfect spot for him.
You're looking at a redshirt.
Have him redshirt. Have him learn. It's going to take some time. But if you're talking day two, early day three,
That's a mistake. That's a mistake waiting to happen.
I think that's too high for him. I think some team would do that. I wouldn't.
The Jets.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
They've done it before.
That would be Hackenberg 2.0.
Yeah. Now, well, whatever team selects Allard, again, they're going to have to be extremely patient with him. He's got traits. He's athletic. He's got the size you want. It's just everything else there. That's all got to get put together. It's like pieces to a puzzle. It's about a team that's going to take him under their wing and develop him, and it's about him putting those pieces together.
Yes.
That's what it really comes down to with Allard.
It's just there's traits that he has that is enticing. It makes you think, hey, this guy actually could work out if he's worked under the right coach in the right system. Then there's things that's like, man, he's not getting this down. He can't get the accuracy down. You know, these balls are going into the dirt, or they're way over the receiver's heads, or he's cracking under pressure and he's taking unnecessary sacks and he can't read a defense and he's throwing into triple coverage. Those are things that he's going to have to work on. It's going to take some time. Now let's get into the top 30 visits that they have brought in, at least as of this recording. They have brought in, I believe, only 3 quarterbacks for top 30 visits so far. One of them is Carson Beck. I don't know why. Nothing about Carson Beck speaks, hey,
let's draft this guy.
No. He was in college for 5 years. First 4 of them with Georgia. And he won 2 natty titles as the backup to Stetson Bennett. When Bennett got drafted to the Rams, he stepped up as the quarterback at Georgia. Except he didn't step up enough because Georgia didn't find the same success, and then he finally transferred to the U, where he led them to the Natty Championship. Ultimately, he threw the game-ending interception that allowed Indiana to win. However, I do got to give him credit for what he did to the U and how he elevated them a little bit, and his leadership is one of his best traits. His leadership and what he did, you got to give him credit to leading him there. But there were also times where, man, he was making mistakes and he was throwing the ball into terrible coverage and he couldn't read a defense and he held on the ball too long and he threw game-ending interceptions. And I got to thinking, is there really a lot of this guy? He was in college for 5 years. Is there traits of this guy where he could actually be an NFL starter? I don't think so. I think he himself would be a decent level backup in the NFL. When I watch this guy, I see him as like a taller Kenny. Kenny Pickett at that.
Oof.
Probably not the best comp.
At least he's willing to throw the football. I'll give Carson Beck that.
Yes.
But I'll give this about him. What he needed was a change of scenery. What he was doing at Georgia obviously wasn't panning out, hence why he entered the transfer portal, went to Miami, and he did well for them. He led them to a national championship appearance. That's something. Yeah, they lost. He threw the game ender. But he led them to a solid season, I'd say.
Yeah.
The change of scenery is what he needed. And his resume is statistically pretty impressive. 11,500 passing yards and 88 touchdowns in 5 years, you said?
5 years.
But just his ability as a quarterback is still inconsistent. It's not starter worthy. Well, yeah, at least not right out the gate.
If you look at it from win-loss record and statistics, it's pretty good. It's just he never really did a lot in college outside of last year, which you got to give him credit for. That's the most he's ever done, and it was in his last season, obviously, and he didn't lead to the championship, but he got them to the game. But he was also one that ended the game for him, unfortunately. He threw right into double coverage. He didn't see the top safety, which is another one of his issues.
Now, his decision...
He can't read a defense. Like you said, his decision-making is questionable.
It's very questionable. It's inconsistent, which leads to poor eye discipline. He misses defenders, and his accuracy is very spotty. Again, stuff that... Him as a quarterback, he's still got to work on. I don't see him as a starter, not right out the gate. He's still going to have to work, but I see him nothing more than as a high-end backup that if you need him to fill in to be a bridge or a starter here and there, then that's honestly the best I see out of back.
Yeah, I would agree. But the Steelers have shown interest in him. They brought him in for a top 30 visit, which is... And now, I get why. He was at the Natty Championship. They're going to show...
Championship pedigree, right?
Yeah. They're going to want that kind of... They're going to want that kind of mindset or that mentality in their locker room. Hell, yeah, he won Natty titles with Georgia as the backup. They love their Georgia Bulldogs, too, so that's where he originated. They want that kind of leadership. They want that kind of success there, right? So I understand that. From a quarterback aspect... Like, again, he's got measurables. He's got a prototypical arm, which is decent. Other than that, I mean, I don't view him as like a starter or like a high-end starter.
Yeah.
Like a lower-level, decent-level backup, I suppose.
Now, another quarterback that they did bring in for a top 30 visit and a player that me and Dan would honestly like the Steelers to select in the mid-round is Cole Payton out of North Dakota State.
Yeah, how about a lefty for a quarterback? I know a lot of them don't pan out well. Steve Young is an exception, one of the very few exceptions.
Rare breed was Steve Young.
Michael Vick, obviously, Steeler legend. Left-handed quarterback turned out well, right? I do like a lot of Cole Payton's traits. One, he's an athlete. He's a dual threat guy. Like his dual threat ability is one of the best traits about him, is that he can extend plays and he can go up the field and get some chunk plays with his legs, right? He can get up the field. He can move the chains. Mike McCarthy, one of the things he mentioned about the quarterback position is how it's evolved and that they are mobile. They can run the ball. They can extend plays. That's what Cole Payton brings to the table. But one thing about him, yeah, he's a dual threat guy. He's a very run-heavy guy. But it's not like, hey, I'm run first, pass second. He's still pass-heavy first because he's the quarterback where he'll sit in the pocket, or if he's sensing pressure, he'll extend plays, but he won't exactly run. He'll still sit behind the line of scrimmage, and he'll still keep his eyes down the field, and he'll make his reads. He'll keep his eyes moving, looking for defenders, still trying to threaten the defense with his arm. If he doesn't find anything he likes, then he'll proceed to run the ball, where he has done that very successfully at North Dakota State. Very high resume, 31 career rushing touchdowns.
Pretty good.
So, yes, he does have that dual threat ability, that athleticism, good measurables at 6'3", 232. So, yeah, this guy's an athlete. Big body quarterback with real good athletic traits to him, which is why I like him a lot. Him as a quarterback, like in terms of like him as a like as a passer or a pocket guy or with his arm, I think he's got a really good deep ball. That's his best trait. Just look at Bryce Lance's tape.
Yeah.
20 yards a reception last year. One of his best traits as a quarterback is the deep ball. He throws a very confident and a very pretty deep ball.
Yeah, his ball placement is very good.
Yes. His accuracy can be spotty at times when it comes to intermediate passes, which is where that could get cleaned up. Otherwise, you know, I think there is a lot to like there. I think there's a lot to like with his arm and his arm strength and his ball placement, right? His dual threat ability. There's a lot to like with Cole Payton, which is why the Steelers brought him in for a top 30 visit and is a very realistic day three option. Round four, round five mostly,
yeah,
is where I would take this guy. Round five more specifically.
Now, he did only have one full year starting, kind of like Ty Simpson. He only started 1 year of college football, but we're talking a mid-round selection. That's not half bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Fifth round, like you said, that's not really that big of a deal, right? And what he brings to the table is he plays with a good level of confidence in the pocket and just as an overall player. And he's got a very fun skill set. And his skill set reminds me a lot of Taysom Hill. And if the Steelers want to utilize him in the way the Saints have used Taysom Hill for years as a package guy that can throw the football if need be, but run the football or even just be as that additional weapon because of how athletic he is, then the Steelers could absolutely do that. That could be one of the reasons why the Steelers are looking at him, not just because of what he brought to the table as a quarterback 1 year starting, but just because of how athletic he is, and just maybe use that as an additional weapon on offense.
I think he has a lot of upside because of his mobility, because of what his traits are as a quarterback. I think his upside is there. You know, for a day three guy, he might be one of the more quarterbacks with the most upside. I do think so. I like Cole Payton a lot. So if we're looking for like a fifth round quarterback or day three quarterback that Steelers want to select that they have definitely shown interest in, I like Cole Payton probably at the top of the list. You know, he's one of the very, very few I would select in this draft class. Another quarterback they brought in for a top 30 visit is Talen Green out of Arkansas.
And this man stood out at the combine, bro, because of just how athletic he is for a man of his size. He's 6'6", 227 pounds.
That's a big quarterback.
And he is a dual threat quarterback at his position as well. And again, extremely athletic. He burst out at the combine. He ran like a 4.35 40. He had like what, over 40-inch vertical and whatnot,
yeah,
right?
This guy's an athlete to the point. Yeah, of course, you know, there are people saying, oh, maybe he should switch to tight end. Maybe he should switch to wide receiver because of his traits. People are going to say that. I think you ought to try him as a quarterback. You know, you got to see what's there. The thing is, as athletic as he is, he's also equally as raw. He's like last year's Jalen Milroe, except a little bit more athletic and taller, obviously. Equally as raw. He's also like this year's Lenore Sellers. Lenore Sellers is one of the quarterbacks we actually like for next year's class. If he can get it down as a quarterback and mainly as a pocket passer. Like Sellers has the traits. He has the arm. Mm-hmm. He has the dual threat ability. He just needs to stay confident in the pocket. He needs to stop bailing and focus on his reads and all that, right? If he can get that down, he could be a top quarterback. Same thing with Green here. He's kind of like this year's Lenore Sellers, where, you know, it was smart for Sellers to go back. It's one of the things he had to do is he had to go back to school when he did. Good for him. Green is kind of like this year's Sellers, where, like, if Sellers were declared similar traits, athletic, tall, good NFL build, but equally as raw. Green is very raw as a quarterback. So he's one of those guys where he would have to sit behind a quarterback guru. The potential's there. The upside's there if he can get that down, but there's a lot to work with. Otherwise, yeah, this guy's a freak athlete. You want to bring him in as a potential day three option. His initial role would pretty much try to make the roster, maybe sit him on the practice squad and pretty much model mobile quarterbacks for game days and game weeks when they're facing like guys like Lamar or Jaden Daniels or guys like that, right? He would essentially model those mobile quarterbacks, maybe be a secret weapon in a certain scheme that wants to use his athletic traits for certain packages on the field, right? Depending on what roster he goes to, or what team he can make, right? That's kind of where his initial impact would be. Otherwise, as a quarterback, yeah, there's still a lot to be desired.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's got some tuning that needs to be done, that needs to be fine for sure. As a quarterback, he's got some flashes, he's got some moments, but it's very spotty with his accuracy, even his decision-making. And some of his passes, I feel like they sail a little too high. So, I mean, that's all coachable, of course, right? You know, that's all stuff that can get worked on. But I feel like him as a rusher is where he really sticks out the most. Like, when you look at a lot of his highlights and a lot of his clips, him scrambling or running with the football is what sticks out about his play the most.
Yeah, he's very run-heavy first.
So it's like with Cole Payton, if you want to use him in package situations, especially with when it comes to running the football, Talen Green, one of his better traits is running the football. So if you want to utilize him and that aspect, that could be a way to kind of get his feet wet and get him started while still developing his quarterback capabilities. It's an idea.
But it's very interesting to me that the Steelers have definitely shown interest in this guy. He'll obviously be a day three option. Like any higher, then it's kind of like GM malpractice, right? But
yeah, you're just falling for the athletic upside. It's like, yeah, it's there, but that's just like you're really falling for it.
Yeah, no, this guy is purely a day three option. We're talking fifth, sixth round here. Which for the Steelers, I mean, with all the picks they have, it's worth a little flyer, isn't it? Yes, he's very raw as a quarterback, but at this point, you're kind of looking for a backup, for a certain role player to start off. But the fact they've shown interest in him is very telling. I mean, he kind of fits what McCarthy wants.
Yes.
He just doesn't have the quarterback aspect down. He's really run heavy first. I mean, we'll see what his role is going to be in the NFL or where his career path is really going to go. Maybe he might change positions. Maybe he gets it down as a quarterback. Maybe he can find himself as being a decent little backup. We don't know. But the Steelers have shown interest, and they brought him in for a top 30 visit. So he is definitely a day three option. One more guy we're going to bring up here is Luke Altmaier out of Illinois. Now, this guy is just a pure winner. Like, wherever he goes, he elevates the team. He has found success. That school has found success. Like, this guy's going to make himself some money as a high-level backup as well. I don't think he'll be a franchise guy or a high starter. But if you're looking for a really good quarterback three, eventual quarterback two, someone that you can rely on as a backup to come in and win your ball games and do his job properly, I think Altmaier's going to find himself to be a good backup in the NFL. Like, he just finds success. He brings success wherever he goes.
Yeah, and he's a tough quarterback, too. He's somebody that's not afraid to scramble the football and take a hit if he needs be. He's a guy that is capable at throwing the football pretty nicely. He's got solid accuracy, in my opinion. And he carries that leadership and that competitive nature, something that you want. Even as a backup, I mean, he carries that capability. He carries those traits at the position right there.
Considering he was a rebel for Ole Miss and then finally transferred to Illinois, helped lead them to back-to-back championship victories. So that gives you traits that, you know, this guy, yeah, he transferred. He went to Illinois, and he helped them win Citrus Bowls, and they helped them win Music City Bowl, right, in back-to-back years. That's the kind of quarterback he is. He is a quarterback that, yeah, he's probably just going to be a high-end backup, but he elevates the room. He elevates the talent. He elevates the team that he is working with, which is good traits to have for a quarterback, man. That's things that you really can't teach, is when you bring this guy into a room, when you bring this guy into a team, he elevates everybody. Like, he's a good leader. He motivates them. He knows how to produce on the field. That's the kind of guy he is. That's why he's another day three option I really like for the Steelers, man. There's not many quarterbacks that I like in this class. There's not. It's Cole Payton. It's Luke Altmaier. I like Taylen Green and his potential a little bit. Garrett Neusmeyer is another one. That's essentially it, bro. I swear to God. There's not too many that I would really take a flyer on in this draft class. But Luke Altmaier is another one of those high-end backups I really like for the Steelers as an option when it comes to, like, the fifth or sixth round. And in regards to Altmaier and the Steelers' interest, they did indeed send a scout to the Illinois Pro Day. So, I mean, they're going to send scouts to as many Pro Days as they can. And it's weird. Omar Khan and Mike McCarthy aren't doing as many Pro Days as I thought they would. It's a little less than what we're used to when Mike Tomlin was here. So it's kind of interesting to see how that's going to pan out for this draft class.
Especially at the quarterback position. That could be telling just because of how the quarterback class is this year, or it could just be the new principle of how they're going to go about when it comes to pro days and when it comes to the draft process with McCarthy in town. Well, that might just be it.
Well, let's put it this way. You know, when it comes to a lot of these quarterbacks, or when it comes to the Steelers looking for a quarterback, you can tell when they're invested in that group and when they're really not. Because they haven't gone to many of these quarterbacks' pro days. They haven't. There's very few that they really sent the house to their pro days. So, to me, that tells me their view of this quarterback position, or this quarterback class, rather. Maybe they obviously know something we don't in regards to the Aaron Rodgers situation. So, perhaps they're not feeling the sense to take one so high, which is why a lot of their top 30 visits include day three guys. So that's pretty telling. But, I mean, it makes me think that quarterback is probably going to be safe for day three. But I wouldn't be surprised if they do take one at the end of day two, just because they think, you know what, we're comfortable enough with who's on the board and where we've gone already. They might take one as high as that. But we've already mentioned day three is probably the sweet spot, and no earlier than the fifth. That could change. That might be the case. We don't know. With Omar Khan, with Mike McCarthy, one of his pitches that he told Art Rooney and Omar and Dan Rooney and everybody in that front office is, hey, I can develop the next guy. Could that next guy be this class? Could that next guy be one of the selections? Could that be someone already in our quarterback room? It's most likely going to have to be someone in next year's quarterback class, but that's the pitch that McCarthy pitched to ownership, to the front office, to the suits and ties.
That's right.
I'm certain they're going to draft someone. They will definitely, with 12 picks, they're definitely going to draft a quarterback. It's just a matter of who and where and how high.
I don't think they do it high because looking back at Omar Khan's selection since he's been the GM, have you really considered either of his selections as a reach?
No.
If you really think about it, have you considered either of them as a reach?
No.
So would you think he would do that at the quarterback position, especially in a class that's quite underwhelming, arguably more underwhelming than it was last year? And I think it's very telling that he didn't last year, considering Shador was there how many times for the Steelers and they still said no.
They passed on
three and they
times.
Brought him in for a top 30 visit and not Will Howard, but they took Will Howard in the sixth round. Maybe I'm delusional, but some tells me that they won't reach for a quarterback this year. Fingers crossed on that.
You better be right. I'll also add in two honorable mentions. Cade Klubnik from Clemson. That's another one coming into this past college football season that I was excited to see because he had a good finish in 2024. 2025, bro, like, he really, really killed his stock. Like, there's a lot of quarterbacks that killed their stock. Klubnik was probably one of the biggest ones that killed his stock. It was just a bad season for him.
Yeah, I was not impressed by Klubnik. No,
he's probably going to go mid to late day three. He could be an option for the Steelers. Like, if we're talking sixth or seventh round, it's whatever, right? It's whatever. Same thing with, like, a Jalen Daniels. I like him probably better than Klubnik, honestly. But those are the quarterback options. This is not a good class. This is not a good quarterback class. We thought it was going to be months ago. It didn't turn out that way.
No.
It's actually looking like 2022 all over again. At least with this one, you have an absolute guaranteed first rounder. 2022, you didn't have that. Unfortunately, the Steelers were the only team to draft a quarterback in the first round. Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, Kevin Colbert, thank you.
They can't make that same mistake so high. This class reminds me a lot of 2022. And 2022 was a terrible class to the point the best quarterback was the last pick of that draft. Not joking.
Yes.
Brock Purdy, who got the biggest pay raise out of anybody in NFL history. He went from literally the last pick to making however much a year to making...
He broke the bank.
However many million.
He broke the bank.
It's crazy.
Dude. He got Fort Knox.
But this class reminds me a lot of 2022. 2022 was terrible. It was Kenny, and I think the next guy after that was Ritter.
It was Desmond Ritter, Malik Willis. Who else after that? The Ole Miss quarterback. He's in the UFL now.
Matt Corral?
Oh, God. Yeah, that guy. Yeah,
yeah, that class wasn't good. This class reminds me a lot of that, except there might be a little bit more higher upside because Mendoza is going to go in the first round. You have some hot upside in Neusmeyer. Alar, if he can get everything right, which I don't know if he can. You have Carson Beck, who might be a decent little backup. I'm not a fan of him, but he might be a decent backup. You have Cole Payton, who I think could be a solid guy with real high upside. Luke Altmaier, I think, will make for a really good backup. There's some quarterbacks that could be like Will Levis, where they're going to be taken higher than they should, and they're going to be nothing more than just a rough backup. Or they could be like a Davis Mills, who's going to be a very high-end backup, or like a Mason Rudolph, who's a decent backup for the Steelers and has been. Last year, maybe not so much, but previous years he was.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the ceiling for a lot of these guys. Otherwise, you're looking at legitimate projects. Quarterback's not a good class this year, and they shouldn't go one high, but you know they will because there's so many picks. And based off of the Steelers' tradition, they want four quarterbacks in the room for training camp, which means Aaron Rodgers is probably going to come back, probably after OTAs. You got Mason, you got Howard, and you're going to get a rookie. When that rookie is going to be selected, we'll see. There's so many other needs the Steelers need to prioritize more than quarterback, but Lord knows, it all depends on how the board falls, doesn't it?
That's right.
So we'll see how that goes. But who's your guys' favorite quarterback prospect in this draft class? What quarterback would you want them to select? Is there any other quarterback prospects we did not mention that you would want them to look into? Let us know your guys' thoughts. What are your guys' views on all these quarterback prospects? Let us know your guys' thoughts down in the comments below. Otherwise, we'll see you in the next one for more Steelers draft content with our next mock draft coming out very, very shortly. One more mock, ladies and gentlemen. One more. Highly anticipated. It will be coming out Monday, right before the draft. for draft week, essentially.
The finale, guys.
So stay tuned for that. Otherwise, we'll see you in the next one. Here we go, Steelers.
And as always, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you later.
Peace!